Kenny Atkinson. Your Cavaliers 31-4. By the way, Doug Peterson just got canned.
When you said that,
Jags job is open.
I haven't seen a lot of Jags games this year.
You just assumed he was fired months ago.
Well, because he was the guy in the hot seat. First one fired, the odds. And so anybody who put money on that has to be going crazy. How did they not fire him? How did they not get rid of him 3 months ago?
They say, I read a Jonathan Jones article, a lengthy article real quick. He apparently, Shad Khan, he still hasn't been an owner that long. They're like, he does not meddle as much as you would think a new owner would meddle.
I thought it was his son.
Make a lot of mistakes.
I thought it was his son that was the meddler.
They don't talk about him. They talk about Shad Khan. I mean, he's the one signing all the checks. We're like, nah, he doesn't really get in the football stuff. But I know what his son is front and center. Wasn't he wearing the neck brace once last year during the draft?
Yeah,
because he had taken a DDT
That's probably the last time I paid attention to any of that.
Tombstone or whatever it was. Yeah, he's a funny figure. We've had him on the air. We've had him on the show.
Oh, yeah, great guy.
Anywho, I want to get back to the Cavs here. Evan Mobley growing into his body finally. I've had this fight about Evan Mobley, and I'm kind of not wanting to give away what I can sell, but I'm going to say it. You know, Kobe Altman and the job he's done with the Cavs, it does make me throw it in neutral and just kind of coast for a minute about the Browns and some of the stuff, because I don't like it during a Browns season. We start to get into this big you-know-what contest of who can say the nastiest thing about the Browns, who can be the meanest about the Browns. I don't want any of that to bleed into the Cavs, or certainly not the Guardians, and I'm going, boy, you know, there was a time where I said, when we talked about Kobe Altman, and I'm going, I don't want Kobe Altman fired. What was it, the 11-day silence where we didn't know Kobe Altman was going to be here or not? And I was like, I don't want him to be fired because I don't know if I don't think Dan Gilbert's going to pick anybody better than him, which is not an endorsement. Not an endorsement. And he gets Evan Mobley, and I fought it out over the last 4 years about Evan Mobley and him being the unicorn and him being a great player because he was very slight. Well, he put on the 20 pounds. The 20 pounds looks like it's helped him a lot. Kenny Atkinson looks like he's helped him a lot. Evan Mobley, he's quiet, so I don't know if he's ever going to reach that status. It's like, man, he's kind of reaching the heights here as a player with this team the way that we wished a lot of other guys would kind of pan out. He's playing, you got to understand, he's playing exceedingly well.
Yeah, people have to go back.
He is a legit all-star.
And watch him against Orlando last year. I think there are very few examples of a guy that has looked like that. Remember, he struggled offensively against Orlando. They nearly lost that series. They were down like 20 points in Game 7 at home, and everybody was ready to run everybody out of town, not just Bickerstaff. Then the Boston series happened, and they were so wounded, but then Evan Mobley, if you remember, came alive. And it was against, you know, Horford. The series was over. At no point did you think the Cavs, you know, really had a chance in that series. But there was a little nugget there. Little breadcrumb. And it was just watching Evan Mobley go to work. And it was like, okay, if he can do this, if he can show this kind of confidence, and he can build on that, like you said, transform his body, maybe some new coaching, some development, some very laser-focused skill development over the offseason, like the dribbling. Now we can start to put some of those moves together confidently. And then, of course, we've been talking about his three-point shot since day one. And you saw, you know, here and there last year, but there was no confidence in that stroke really the entire year. This has been one of the biggest leaps I've ever seen. Like, I'm telling you.
It's not Klay Thompson. But it's
Kenny, this.
You think it's Klay Thompson-esque?
This guy,
because he was most improved.
This guy offensively, in that, just go back to that Orlando series. He couldn't put the ball on the floor. He couldn't put multiple moves together. All he had was the pump fake, pump fake, pump fake, pump fake, pump fake, pump fake, pump fake. Okay, now I'll put it up. Like now, the reason he was pump faking so much is because he had no confidence. He had that explosion.
So what's changed with the confidence?
Well,
is it rotational?
I think it's also, it's year four. So he's going up against younger guys now. That always is a big factor. You're seeing a little bit of that with Garland too. I mean, Garland's been amazing. He is looking like a top five point guard in the league. So I do think coaching is a big part of it, but I want to give him the credit. I don't want to just give Atkinson. Obviously, Atkinson's been amazing. But I don't want to do that at the expense of taking anything away from Evan Mobley. And it's been astonishing. The stuff he is doing, when we talk about unicorn stuff, it's not just, oh, I can victimize a dude on a closeout and then, you know, get around the rim and then still look shaky. No, he's going full speed ahead, and he's just going to be an impossible matchup as he continues to get better and understands where his strengths are on the floor, where his strong spots are.
It might be, and I like, we're trying to find reasons for it. I don't need to look that far. I mean, if he's just 23 years old now and that's it, and he's just gotten bigger and stronger and has grown into his body. I mean, I know he's a 19-year-old taxpayer and an adult when he comes to the Cleveland Cavaliers, but we would call him a child. We would call him a kid. I would call anybody if a kid was 19 years old working here, I'd call him a kid. And he's 23 now. He's bigger. He's stronger. He's faster. He might have just grown into his body, and it takes a while for some guys. We've known that he is a more of a meek figure, quiet again. Maybe it takes a minute for you to look in this league. Like, there are guys who come into the league and they're going to throw elbows and it's their league and they're going to take over. We call them Hall of Famers. And I don't know if he's going to end up like that, but damn, what he's done to grow this year with his type of game and finding his place, I think it's been inspiring. I think that's part of it. It's a big reason why you're 31-4 and why these fourth quarters, remember, he's playing in these games. They're not really playing guys a lot in the fourth quarter. These are blowouts. These are total assings. So I do feel that if they had better opponents, if there weren't these many blowouts, though, yeah, he'd probably even have better numbers than what
they'd
he has.
They'd all have better numbers.
Yeah.
That is the one thing that's amazing to me, is that you have a superstar in Donovan Mitchell who could be out there getting his numbers and doesn't seem to care. I mean, he's rarely playing 30 minutes. I mean, this is crazy how many fourth quarters these guys have gotten to sit because they're bludgeoning their opponents. And they are a fun watch. Jared Allen has this quote about them playing ethical basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a fun thing for the NBA dorks that pay attention to this stuff. But they're such a likable team. They do play basketball the right way. They try hard. I know that's a low bar, right, in sports. They're getting paid a lot of money. But I watch other teams. I mean, look at what happens. Look at what happens in Miami. I mean, Jimmy Butler, that's been a team that's been to the NBA Finals and been, you know, a shot here or there away from being like the three NBA Finals, and they're miserable. These guys are happy. They know they have a lot to prove. They know that nobody's going to pick them to come out of the East. You might start to get a few talking heads here and there, but they know no one's going to pick them, and that's going to be a frequent question, because what else is there to talk about with the Cavs right now? What else is there to talk about other than showdown Wednesday against Oklahoma City, and then how they measure up against Boston?
I can't endorse a trade of any significance whatsoever. The core four looks incredible. Like, I would advise against it. Like, I know that we had core four talk here and there.
Yeah.
But at this, I'm 31-4. You going to break that up? You going to mess with that? No.
The only question is what they're going to do with the tax apron and making sure they don't limit their opportunities to improve on the team over the next few years, as you're always going to need to.
They can mess around with a few things, but you're not messing with the core.
Yeah, I'm very interested, because right now I've seen some people start to say, why aren't we getting our due? And my question is, do you care? Do you care about your due?
I don't.
Like Charles Barkley, and who was it on Inside the NBA the other day? They pretty much, they said, hey, Cavs have been great this year, but they dismissed them as true championship contenders. There will be some of that, because Donovan Mitchell has not gotten to where a player of his caliber normally gets to by this stage of their career. Darius Garland has not been good in the playoffs. So, you know, nothing he does in a regular season is going to change certain people's minds on what that's going to be. And, you know, we have to see them. They struggled last year against Orlando, that young Orlando team that they should have had a much, much more, should have been an easier route. Let's just say that. Should not have gone seven. So they haven't really done anything in the playoffs. And that was under Bickerstaff. The only thing that's going to get them credit is actually doing it in the playoffs. So nothing you do. Maybe if they do go 72-10, maybe if they do that,
well,
that'll change some minds. But the champs are the champs.
I'll fish it up with this. I know that this was something you wanted to bring up in the podcast tomorrow. And I will say, I think it's the type of team that could ruin the regular season for me if they were to go out and not finish well against Boston, but could save
the
regular
season. What if they lost to the Knicks?
Or, God forbid, it would ruin it, because I'm one of the people who, like, you know, regular season, regular season, regular season. I got to see what figures out. I got to see what matters. It could ruin the regular season for me. They're the type of team that could save the regular season for everybody else. Because if they go out there, and you mentioned Golden State, if they go out there and they do finish this thing off, like say they do complete it and they win the whole thing, I think the regular season matters again for a lot of people. Because it's like, well, wait a minute. We spent so much time bagging on regular season wins when the Cavs beat Golden State that it kind of murdered the regular season for a lot of fans, for the general populace out there. But if the Cavaliers team, this Cavaliers team is going to approach 60, they're going to approach the 66 win mark that they've already set.
Easily.
So that is going to be one of the more historic numbers that we've ever seen.
They could lose four in a row and they'd still be.
I do think that if once we get to February and March, we're going to start sitting some guys and getting ready to then turn it back up for the home stretch. I know. But if they do approach that and then they do go and complete it, I think it gives some heat back for the regular season.